grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. Dom and Crouts are the devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Thursday, 4 o'clock, happy hour. Dominic, we got a fine guest joining us right now, live via phone. It is my senator, our friend, John Erpenbach. He is a member of the Joint Finance Committee, one of the minority Dems on that committee. John, welcome back to the big show.
Hey, thanks, guys. How you doing?
Good, John. Thank you, sir.
Excellent, John. I regret that I missed your press conference earlier today and the protest actions of Voces de la Frontera. Apparently, things got started a little bit late in the Joint Finance Committee, John.
Yeah, a little bit late. The protesters were there, and the issue they were talking about is dead on accurate. The idea that we are not going to allow undocumented workers an opportunity to have a driver's license while we expect them to work on the front lines, we expect them to pay taxes and everything else, was taken out of the budget today, which was too bad.
John, there were hundreds of items taken out of Tony Evers' budget, and my understanding is your Republican colleagues just dug a $3.4 billion hole that has to be backfilled, and one of the items that could have helped to do that was legalizing recreational cannabis. John, they voted that down as well.
Right. You know, and we can have the debate on marijuana, but it's something that in this state is popular. I mean, people do support it. People overwhelmingly support, at the very least, medical marijuana. But the idea that, you know, the Republicans, again, are kind of behind the curve when it comes to what the people want is not surprising. You know, a lot of stuff that they did take out of the budget today, people overwhelmingly support. And the reason why it was in the budget to begin with is because Tony Evers went around the state and listened to what Wisconsinites had to say. And the budget he introduced was what Wisconsin was telling him to do. So not only marijuana, but whether it's Medicaid, driver's license issues we're talking about, these are all things that people, the majority of the people of the state support, but it was taken out anyways.
John, one of the most indefensible items that these Republicans have done is the failure to expand Badger Care, the failure to expand Medicaid. And they've already cost us about $3 billion as a state. They're going to turn down $1.6 billion over the next 2 years. And John, my understanding, even the ongoing reimbursement rates would be at 90% locked in. But Republicans will accept reimbursement rates under 60. They'll accept 30% federal dollars to backfill the state budget, but they won't do the right thing by the very poorest Wisconsinites that would otherwise qualify for Medicaid. I mean, I know Scott Walker wanted to run for president on this bad policy, John, but what the hell's the wrong with the rest of them?
Yeah, and we see how far that got him in that race. He was in the race for about 20 minutes. So let's break it down here for a little bit. We're talking about providing access to health care at a, you know, extremely low cost for individuals who are going to be making slightly over minimum wage to up to about $10.50 an hour. There's not a lot of jobs out there that pay that. They pay more, but the fact is there are jobs out there that pay that right now. And the idea that they don't have access to Badger Care is beyond frustrating. There's absolutely no compassion there. Now, if you want to talk dollars and cents, the idea that the federal government would take our tax dollars that belong in Wisconsin and say, here you go, expand Badger Care up to 135% of federal poverty level, and we'll help you pay for it. And, oh, by the way, here's another $1 billion as an incentive to do it, because we're one of a handful of states that don't do it now. Here's an additional $1 billion to spend as you want. It's one-time money. And the Republicans are concerned about what Tony Evers is going to do with the federal ARPA money, but they have $1 billion right in front of their face right now. It's right there. They can take that and incorporate it into their budget, and they chose not to do that today.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio. Wisconsin State Senator John Erpenbach joining us. John, that is so supremely frustrating, not only on the budgetary sense, but certainly on the humanitarian sense as well. And we're talking dollars and cents. The ultimate result of the Republicans' actions is to create a $3.4 billion hole, let's call it. Part of that, a big chunk of that, of course, is that Medicaid expansion money, but also some, raising taxes. Republicans are not down for that, John. And one that's always kind of gotten to Crudy and I is this manufacturing agribusiness tax credit. 0.4% tax rate. 0.4. That's less than a half a percent of a tax rate on these profitable companies. John, why are the Republicans so hesitant to do that? This thing has already busted the budget from what they predicted it would quote-unquote cost to what it actually cost. Are the Republicans going to deal with this at all?
No, they're not. And what the governor had proposed is something that, obviously a lot of Democrats do support, was eliminating the manufacturing of the man and ag tax credit. And the reason why we're doing the manufacturing is simply because it's extremely expensive, first of all. Secondly, there really aren't anywhere near enough number of new jobs to justify that kind of tax break. And third, the amount of money is spread over the wealthiest people, not corporations or manufacturers, but the wealthiest people here in the state of Wisconsin. So it's not fair by any means. It's a huge tax break for the wealth, and I'm talking about like the ultra-millionaires here in Wisconsin. They get the tax break, the rest of us don't, and they're not creating the jobs to justify the tax break. So the elimination of at least the manufacturing portion of the man and ag tax break, it should have been dealt with a long time ago. We tried to do it again in this budget with the governor, but they're not even going to look at that.
Of course they're not. John, the Badger bounce back. The governor has been very clear on what he wants. As you mentioned, he went around the state. He got input from the citizens. I mean, it seems like he's doing all the right things, checking all the right boxes. But the Republicans want nothing to do with that. And I saw a tweet from Journal Sentinel reporter Molly Beck saying the messaging from the Republicans, unlike the Democrats, which is, the Badger bounce back, it is a back to basics. Was that your impression?
Right.
And what the hell does that mean?
Well, basically what the Republicans are going to do is start over with a new budget based on the budget, the last budget we passed. So basically they're taking that budget and building on that. But more importantly, what they're doing is not listening to what Wisconsinites are saying. Again, can't stress this enough, you guys. Governor's budget was full of things, not so much Tony wanted, sure he supported him, but is what Wisconsinites told him. And he went around the state and he listened. And when we took the finance committee on the road to do public listening sessions in Rhinelander and Menominee and Whitewater, and then a virtual one in Madison to wrap things up, people overwhelmingly supported what the governor was talking about and his bounce back agenda and all that. People overwhelmingly supported that. And basically the first real vote we took today in finance was to take about 400 items that people do support out of the budget. So again, they can call it back to basics or whatever, but the point in all of this is if you compare the two, Republicans are not listening to what Wisconsinites are saying, and Governor Evers is. That's the biggest difference between where the Republicans are today and where Governor Evers is today.
Senator Erpenbach, as far as I was concerned, Republicans lost all credibility with Foxconn. I mean, Foxconn, this god-awful boondoggle of a deal drafted on the back of a cocktail napkin by Scott Walker, but it was the same legislative leaders, at least in the case of Robin Voss, that were telling us about these well-paying $13 an hour jobs, and there'd be 13,000 of them, and it'd be transformative for our entire economy. And now it's not, John. It's a greatly diminished deal, and the governor has renegotiated what could have been a $4 billion deal into apparently an $80 million deal. Obviously, local municipalities still on the hook for the infrastructure investment to date, John. But this is still a hell of a lot better than what Evers was facing with no Foxconn outputs. What do you think of the new deal, and was there any conversation from your joint finance co-committee members, the Republican side? Did anyone bring up Foxconn today, John?
What's that?
Any discussion of Foxconn today in the joint finance?
A little bit, only on the budget adjustment numbers. We have more money now because the Foxconn deal didn't go through. as planned by the Republicans and the renegotiation of the contract with Governor Evers. So let me compare, and this is going to be a stretch, but stick with me for a second. Let me compare Foxconn to Medicaid expansion. Foxconn was a multi-billion dollar bet on something that did not exist yet. Wasn't there. It was just an agreement, a handshake, and lots of law changes and lots of money set aside, not only immediately but into the future. The Medicaid expansion is actually betting on Wisconsinites, low-income Wisconsinites, who need some help right now. And the idea that they are in a tough spot, low-income, you know, living slightly above the federal poverty line, yet they're trying to work, they're trying to contribute, they're trying to better their lot in life, and they're here right now, and they are Wisconsinites. We should be betting on them. We shouldn't be betting on a Foxconn situation that was never going to happen the way the Republicans played it out. It was never going to happen to justify the amount of money we spent up front and the law changes besides. We should be betting on our own. And if you expand Medicaid, you're giving people an opportunity to not worry about health care, to have access to good quality health care so they can move on with their life and better their lot in life. I'd much rather bet on Wisconsinites than bet on a Foxconn thing that just simply doesn't exist.
John, the state of Wisconsin, I'm betting on a redistricting that is more fair. Because quite frankly, most of the bad governance for the last decade is a reflection of gerrymandered districts. John, I'm a little concerned about the timing of the census, though. Normally, it comes out in April, all the data needed to set the next maps. Not coming out until September. We already know the Republicans have hired and, you know, been injuncted to not hire lawyers to defend their secretive drawing of the maps. But, John, I'm concerned that we're still going to be contesting the next election on the same gerrymandered and rigged maps that we've contested the last five elections in Wisconsin. John, you got any reassurances that, you know, something fairer is coming down the pike?
I really hope so. And part of the reason why I feel that there's an opportunity for fair maps is because of Tony Evers. The Republicans have been trying to figure out a way to go around his authority within this to have to sign legislation where they can just pass something and not bypass the governor and keep essentially the maps the way they are right now. And the injunction is basically saying that the Republicans can't spend taxpayers' money on a lawsuit that doesn't exist right now. That's kind of what that comes down to. So the idea that, you know, the governor's a Democrat, obviously legislature's controlled by Republicans, theoretically you think that they would have to work together in order to move the state forward. Fair maps is moving the state forward. And so if they pass maps that are just so god-awful, unfair, you have Tony Evers there ready to talk them off a ledge, whether he vetoes it or works with them or whatever. But we do have a chance for fair maps this session. It's just a matter of how much the Republicans are really willing to work with Tony Evers. Now, that being said, their track record of working with the governor to this point is less than stellar. It's not good. So, you know, if the Republicans want to pass redistricting legislation, they need to work with Governor Evers. If they just want to go ahead and try and ram something through, obviously it won't become law, and then maybe or maybe not the courts end up drawing the maps. We'll see.
John, my concern with these Republicans is not just their partisan nature. It's the fact that you've got a number of seditious Republicans in the Wisconsin Republican caucus. And, John, they were sending off letters to Mike Pence the day before the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, encouraging him not to codify the Electoral College. Above and beyond that, we've got people sitting on the Wisconsin Elections Board that were also fraudulent electors selected to support Donald Trump. John, how do we move this state forward if we've still got Republicans propagating a big lie?
Well, I think people are smarter than that. You know, people in Wisconsin are smarter than that. We went through the electoral process here. Joe Biden won here. People in Wisconsin have accepted that, except some, you know, state legislative elected leaders. And the idea that they're going to continue to push a lie, you know, that's on them. But their constituents know the truth. You know, they're pushing the big lie in elections that they actually won. Which, again, is a whole other issue that they need to settle in therapy, I suppose. But at the end of the day, Wisconsin knows who won. And Wisconsin has accepted it, and Wisconsin has moved on. If those Republicans choose not to, well, that's on them.
John Erpenbach, my senator, sir, we've got to move on. Thank you so much for joining us here this afternoon.
Thanks, John.
All right, anytime, guys. Good talk with you.
Come back with us. Phone lines open. More Devils, 844-967-2789.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.